CliffCentral.com. This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Sex Talk on CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning and radio unscripted. And this morning, without a doubt, uncensored, which is just so cool. And you know what I was thinking about? Tamar, can you hear me? Tamar, can you hear me?
Of course.
Can you hear me? We can't hear you.
I can hear you, John
T. There we go. That's better.
I'm right here.
That's better. Is Mommy having a good time?
Oh, Mommy's having a wonderful...
Good. We keep losing you here.
Time also moment.
Okay. We keep losing you here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better. So don't move. Don't move a muscle. Don't move a millimeter.
A whole hour.
Anywhere. Yeah. Don't move. But you know what I was thinking about? I was listening to the Gas Comedy Podcast before with Eric and all his buddies. I was thinking about what we do and how awesome it is that we get to sit here with friends, with people we generally really like and enjoy, and talk about the most amazing stuff. And it is just so cool.
Mm.
Lucky bunch of people, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, some very cool friends in the studio. Introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Claire.
Hi, I'm Stuart, Claire's husband, long-suffering husband.
Stuart, you're getting in trouble for that.
No, he's not.
Wait till later.
I'll happily lend you some floggers and paddles and things.
She's frightening enough without weapons.
Absolutely. Very cool. So it's really cool that you guys are here this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So we thought we would do absolute open house, open mic, I said, that we can talk about anything, and you came up with some questions, and I got some ideas, and Stuart had some stuff. So that's really, really cool, which is fantastic, and I'm sure Tamar has something to say.
Well, if not, I'm going to tweet it.
Okay. We keep losing you, so if we do, then we'll just get Palesa to get you back.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's start with this.
Ninja sex. Chocolate starfish. Twitter bang. Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is...
felching.
Dirty dictionary word.
Felching. Any clue, Stuart?
I think it's something to do with semen, I think, maybe.
Yeah, you are. You're in the ballpark. You're on the right track.
Does it involve a straw and semen or something like that?
I think the straw's optional, but okay. You're kind of getting very close, very warm.
I'm very cold then.
And how does he know that? How does he know that?
Is it safe to say something like a friend of mine once
yeah,
told me?
Yeah, we all have a friend, yes.
I thought it was something along the lines of like sharting, you know, when you put two words together, but yeah. I'm just not sure now.
No, you are way, way off there.
I don't know my husband very well, obviously.
I think I should leave now.
Yeah. You see, this is where it all comes out. This is where it gets
Do you know a good lawyer, John T?
Too late.
Yeah, the laws of life. We've got a whole legal show on Cliff Central. They'll help you guys out. They'll do an on-air mediation session. Fantastic. Tamar, what do you think felching is? Are you just laughing there?
Well, John, you know, as a university, you know, I'm in charge of the words in the vocabulary in English. I can tell you that it sounds to me like something from the agriculture world, not from the sex world.
Ah, no, you are way, way off base. Nothing to do with animals or vegetables. But could have a very high mineral content.
Ooh.
Lots of protein.
You know what it is, don't
lots
you?
Of protein,
you?
Lots of zinc. Okay, so yeah. We will come back to that one. And before I forget, because just in case I do, two cool things coming up. Next week is our last water massage for the year on Thursday night. And on the 6th of December, Belle Rouge are hosting a fantastic ladies' night. Lots of toys, lots of giveaways, and I'm doing a great talk on the G-spot. So you really want to learn about where your G-spot is, how you find it, what you do with it when you find it, a little bit about squirting and female ejaculation. So come along to that. Stuart, if you put on a dress and have a shave, maybe.
Well, if we do it on Saturday, that's normally what I do on a Saturday anyway.
So that's fantastic. There we go. So that'll be fabulous. And it was so cool to meet some of our listeners at the talk I gave this week of exploring your sexuality.
It was where was it?
It was in just off Ethel Oaklands Road.
Oh, cool.
At a venue that we use. It was so cool to meet some of you guys. It's really wonderful to do that. So I really, really enjoy that. Okay. So the floor is yours, madame. Go for it.
Can I first, what is a Twitter bang?
What is a Twitter bang?
If that's, I know that's not the word. Is that, is that when you're having sex over Twitter?
It's a word that we used before.
Okay. Just because I hear it in the promo thing. And I was wondering.
Oh, that's right. So we put it, okay. So Twitter bang is, I got to remember exactly. It's either having sex with somebody you met on Twitter.
Okay.
Or having Twitter sex.
Okay.
One of the two.
Okay.
We need to research.
So check it out. It's one of those two, which they're not that far apart.
I remember, actually.
Okay. Educate me.
Okay. Yeah, it's basically because it's actually only, obviously there's very limited space, so it's actually what you do through Twitter.
Nobody needs to look at my search history at the moment, especially the preparation we did for the show today. Oh,
that's always interesting.
Oh, no, I'll tell you.
The cookies.
Yeah.
And this morning, Stuart said to me, I sent you a link. You must have a look at these. There's all these fetishes, blah, blah, blah. And I said, on WhatsApp? Oh, so he's like, yeah, on WhatsApp. I don't have anything. He goes, oh, my God, I sent it to my mother. But turns out he didn't send it at all. Your mother would have been very, very upset.
How'd you explain it?
Especially if they would have been sent to Claire's mother.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, my mom doesn't use a phone, thank God.
Okay.
But our excuse of research doesn't work anymore. No.
Nah, you've gone past that stage. The first time you were here, you could get away with research.
Yes.
The fact that you've been back so many times, no, not anymore. Now it's just personal interest and enjoyment and pleasure. Full stop. So just own it all.
No, we did. I mean, we did look up some fetishes just to see what weird and wonderful things are out there.
Oh, it's endless and limitless.
Yeah, crazy.
Not crazy.
I just think, you know, the mind boggles at the fact that there are people out there expecting those sort of things, you know. But I did want to ask you, where do fetishes come from?
Well, it's kind of a really interesting question. And through all the research that I've done over the years, nobody actually really knows what triggers it.
Okay.
And there are so many different triggers. Often it's something from childhood.
Right.
Something from way, way, way back when you have an experience and it has some impact.
Right.
And often that's huge. You know, somebody gets spanked as a child and there's an erotic component.
So it's not – is it – a traumatic – would it be a traumatic experience or did they enjoy – you know, did
there'd be some pleasure in it because the trauma would normally be lead to a phobia rather than a fetish.
Right, right.
So a fetish is more an enjoyment, you know, which would be more into the philia category.
Mm.
The phobia would be more the fear of.
Okay.
Ah, see, because whenever I've heard about it, I always thought it was like an early sexual experience then becomes a fetish, not just an early childhood experience becomes a fetish.
No, it's not always an early sexual experience. And often it'll be rooted in something connected with childhood that was pleasurable, but it wasn't directly sexual.
Wow.
So like a child who's constipated, for example, given an enema.
Yeah.
And that's not a sexual experience in a way, but could lead to something really pleasurable.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
A child who got spanked by a parent or somebody else, like an opposite gender parent or whatever. All of a sudden, oh, wow, there was something in there that triggered something.
I suppose as well as a child, you know, things like injuries. When you get injured, the thing that follows the injury is attention from your parents.
Yeah.
So maybe that, you know,
yeah,
they associate the injury with a pleasurable experience.
Yeah, so there are so many different triggers for something like that.
And a friend of ours at Dominatrix saw, I think she saw somebody being beaten with a belt or something like that when she was a child, and that's where that spirit, that kind of awakened something.
Yeah,
in
you'll
her
see
as
something
well.
In a movie, you'll read something, there'll be a smell, you know, like you walk past
it's
a
quite fascinating.
As a
really.
Child, one of your mother's friends has this amazing perfume or something, or gives you this huge hug, and it's like, and something just kind of sits there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And over the years, it grows, or something later will trigger it, will bring it out again. But
and also, I think it's very important, Jonty, to remember that fetishes, or let's say the likes of and kinks, are sometimes just a natural expression of your own original, you know, uniqueness. Mm. It can be a natural flavor that emerges because we're all different. You know,
we have learned
to remember, we've grown to think that we're all the same. We're not.
No.
Some people just have different orientations.
But then is it fair to call it a fetish? Because, you know, if it's normal to one person, it's not normal to somebody else. You know, you're making it something ugly. If
two things. So let's just go back to one thing that Tamar said that I was getting. No, but it's a really important question. And the one thing is that I've always said if something is inside of you, at some point it's going to wake up.
Right.
If it's not, it's not going to be there.
Mm.
Mm.
So, for example, if you have an interest in bondage, being dominant, being submissive, being whatever in that, at some point something's going to trigger it and it's going to come to the surface.
Right.
Yeah. If it's not a part of you, and this is what Tamar was saying, that we all have the stuff inside of us that comes from who knows where.
Yeah.
That has nothing often to do with something from childhood, but it's a part of our makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's not there, it is not going to be there.
Okay.
So if you enjoy, I don't know, golden showers, being peed on or peeing on somebody, if you do not and it's not a part of you, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, I've had partners at various stages who are quite into that, and I thought, all right, so let's try this and let's see. And for me, there's nothing in it.
Yeah.
Like giving it or receiving, I don't care about it.
And is it worth doing just to keep somebody happy as well?
Well, if
it's not within you, I mean.
If it's not going to take something away from you,
then
it's interesting to look at that.
Okay. All
so right. If it's going to contract you, if it's going to take something away from you, then no, because then it's destructive to you.
Right.
I think the thing as well is that, I mean, so many things are so taboo that we probably, most of us, find ourselves suppressing these feelings and avoiding it, actually.
Because of the fear of judgment from the people around us. And this is where the interesting thing comes. So a lot of what we put in categories of fetish, of philias, of phobias, come from the world of psychology.
Right.
So there's a big book called the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is on, I think, the 7th edition or whatever it is. And everything that's in there is categorized.
Right.
Okay.
Now, a lot of that stuff was considered fetish behavior. So if you look at the strict definition of that, it was something that had some kind of arousal, some kind of impact on you.
Right.
And that's kind of the strict definition of it. But if you look at that in the past, until quite recently, what we accept as being totally normal now was considered fetish behavior.
Yeah.
And was considered aberrant behavior.
Yeah.
You know, homosexuality at one point was considered psychologically aberrant.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Where we know that it's not.
Yeah.
So you have to look at where a lot of these things come from.
Yeah.
And then the words that we use definitely have impact on them. So instead of saying this is my fetish and putting it in any kind of box, just let's put it in this is my pleasure, this is my kink, this is part of my sexual expression without that much of a label.
Because that's what we were chatting about, you know, whether a fetish is a bad thing or a good thing, because you can't really define it because it's personal again.
You have to try to keep your mouth closer to
I'm sorry.
Because you have a very sexy voice, I have to tell you that.
Stop it.
The rest of her ain't bad either.
Stop it, I like her.
I'm going to quote you in that one.
And that's, you know, what you just said is so fascinating because it's one of the biggest things that people say about certain experiences is you ask somebody, so would you like to have whatever the experience might be? Would you like to have a bondage experience? Would you like to have a threesome? The biggest fear is that they're going to
be rejected.
No.
I could
enjoy it.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that terrifies us often more than anything else because, what does that mean if I really like this?
Yeah.
Why? Because you'd want more of it or because you're going to like look at yourself and go, oh my gosh, what kind of person am I?
Yeah. What does it mean? Really? So I go and I have this experience. What does it mean? My whole self-definition gets radically changed often in an instant when you have a big experience.
But I would have thought rejection is more, you know, if you put it out there, the rejection.
Yeah,
would
but
be,
that's more about the sharing of it with somebody else.
Yeah.
Or the rejection goes with that because it's you're going to reject a part of yourself.
Yeah.
But the fear of rejection often will come from somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you that have this sense. Idea in your head, what would a threesome be like? For example,
Stuart.
Funny you should say that.
So, you're laying the groundwork here for something.
Your mother's Help not listening out. To this show. Don't send her the link.
And, you know, your first thought is, so if I share that, first you have to acknowledge that that's some part of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what do you do with that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was talking, this talk that I gave last week on exploring sexuality, it always comes up about swinging, swapping, threesomes, whatever, because it's a part of that. And I was remembering my first experience, which was as exciting as it was as terrifying.
Yeah.
Because, and for me, the terrifying was, how does it work? What happens? What do you do? And sort of the mechanics of it. I couldn't get my head around that.
But yeah, part of my concern as well is that you think, should it remain a fantasy? Mm. Is the idea of it better than the reality?
Mm.
So should you be careful what you wish for almost?
Yeah.
I think
the
idea is better than the real thing.
But I think there's only one way to find out.
So, but let's explore that a little bit because it's kind of this, you know, we did this beautiful interview with Galen Fuss a while ago about the first conversation about bondage, about fetish, about kink experiences.
Right.
No.
And it becomes really interesting. So the first thing is you've got to acknowledge it within yourself, which says what about it excites you?
Right.
Okay.
And to start exploring that.
Yeah.
And then to start a conversation about it. And the questions that you put are, what do you think about?
Mm.
And that becomes a really safe way to start exploring. Not, I want to have a threesome. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Don't you wish you could just rewind your life sometimes and start this conversation again?
What do you think about?
Yeah.
This is what I've been thinking about. Mm. What do you think about
Because
that?
It's not about you are not attracted to your partner anymore or anything. It's just something within you that you would like to explore. It's also not that you want to spruce up the sex life or anything like that. Is it just something you've thought about for a very long time and now you're going to see what the other person, how the other person reacts or is it that kind of a thing? Or?
Yeah, and that's an important part of it. So because you have a fantasy about something, it does not mean that you love your partner any less.
Yeah.
It does not mean that they turn you on any less. And it does not mean that you don't have awesome sex and an awesome relationship with them.
Yeah.
Your fantasies are about you.
Right.
Hmm.
And often they come from these places that way back in the past and stuff we have no idea about.
Right.
So I might have a fantasy about, I don't know, a woman with really small boobs, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have really small boobs.
I don't do it for you then.
But that doesn't mean I don't love you less. It doesn't mean I don't love your boobs. It doesn't mean I don't want to touch them and kiss them and play with them and look at them and everything else.
Right.
It simply means that's my fantasy.
Yeah.
And the two have nothing to do with each other.
Right.
And if we make that mistake of saying that, that's when we get into trouble because that's not what it is.
Yeah.
In the same way of whatever your fantasy might be or your thought.
Yeah.
That's the first part of it. Second part is some fantasies are never going to come close or some when we express them, when we actually go and explore them and do them, it is never going to come close to what happens in our minds.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to understand that.
Yeah.
Because the triggers for the fantasy are incredibly specific. And this becomes an amazing thing to start breaking down inside of you. What is it about a certain experience that actually triggers it? Because sometimes it's a smell.
Okay.
Sometimes it could be a taste. Sometimes it could be a word, a sentence.
Yeah.
And if you don't communicate that clearly and openly enough, your partner is not going to be able to fulfill that.
Yeah.
So it's, okay, so I want to have a threesome. But as part of that, there's something in this that you have to say or do.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's the very specific part of it.
Yeah.
And that becomes a beautiful journey to explore that within ourselves to see what exactly is it? Is it an outfit? Okay, what is the outfit?
Right.
So you say, I don't know, a nurse's outfit. Real common one.
Yeah.
Doctors and nurses.
I love doctors.
Doctors and nurses. Okay, so off you go to Belarus down the road.
Right.
And you go to Candace and you say, I want to buy a nurse's outfit. So Candy gives you a nice nurse outfit. You go home. That's not your nurse's outfit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because you've gone to an adult shop and you've bought an adult nurse's outfit. And maybe your fantasy is a real nurse's outfit.
Yeah. I think the fear as well is that you're already asking for someone to help you live out your fantasy. Mm. And you've managed to get them to agree. And you're amazed. And you now want to keep quiet because you don't want to do anything to ruin it. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you don't want to tell them how to do it.
And now you're going to give them a big, long list of, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. And the fear every step is, now it's going to get rejected.
But if you don't do that, it's never going to come close to being fulfilling. Then it's going to be disappointing.
Yeah.
Then both of you actually feel rejected.
Yeah.
So I just need to put one thing in here. Because obviously we're getting kind of closer to the, are we going to see the pictures afterwards? Is the question.
It's not happening.
Where are the pictures?
It's not happening.
We'll talk.
We'll talk. But the important thing becomes that if you don't do that, then it doesn't become fulfilling.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a failure. So you feel that you failed in it. You feel disappointed by it.
Yeah.
And that, instead of bringing you closer together and making it more exciting, that actually starts to take it away from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, think about it in terms of other things that we do in life. You go to a restaurant. You order, so you go to, I don't know, steakhouse up the road from where I live, Turn and Tender.
Yeah.
You walk in there, you say, I would like a steak. This is the cut I want. This is how I want it cooked. This is what I would like with it. Mm-hmm. And you have a much greater chance of that happening, and that becomes a fulfilling meal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go and buy a car. You go and buy a computer. You go and buy a phone. You look for certain specs in that.
I like that, specs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clever. But it's the same thing, but that's what you do.
Yeah.
You say, if I'm going to get a phone, this is what I'm going to use the phone for.
Yeah.
Like, I write a lot on my phone. So I go in and I say, I write a lot, which is a good phone that's going to help me do that?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't want a whole lot of other stuff because I'm not going to use it. And they say, this and this and this, and then you make a choice.
Right.
It's exactly the same kind of thing. And if we are not specific enough, it's not going to be fulfilling.
Yeah.
And that opens the most beautiful conversation because we start to learn so much about ourselves and about each other.
Yeah.
That's first step in that.
Yeah. Don't you, can I butt in with a strap on quickly?
And if I say no,
I just want to add, this is a vulnerable, this is the wonderful, wonderful key for vulnerability and relationship, actually closeness fantasies, because I'm exposed to you. And this is something you taught me first in the beginning, that I will not take advantage of this space because my partner has been vulnerable with me, and I will not put on him also all my rage and feeling, you know, it's a huge, huge growth opportunity because it confronts me with my jealousy. It confronts me with my maybe authenticity when I hear my partner revealing what he wants to explore. But he has or she has the same responsibility as we discussed with Galen Fuss on sexual authenticity, which means I will not drop. You know, we waited 30 years, 25, 55 years to have this conversation. Not everything has to happen at once.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the next step of this.
Yeah.
And what you said there is so important and so beautiful is that we can see this as the most amazing space for learning and for growth within our relationship.
Yeah.
Because you do have to reveal yourself in this. And that does bring us closer together because we are learning much more about ourselves, about each other. And that creates amazing intimacy.
Yeah.
And we do become more authentic in that.
Yeah, the fact that you can actually have that conversation. Mm. And I think what you said earlier about a fantasy and about a conversation, having the conversation doesn't mean it has to happen.
No.
But it is really, really great that you can actually have that conversation.
Yeah. And when you do that, you kind of, once you're engaging with it, you get closer and closer to seeing, so do we actually really want to do this?
Hmm.
And then it becomes a question of saying, so how do we start this?
Hmm.
And the important thing, and this is the advice I would give everybody, go slow, step by step. And it's not going from, we've had the discussion into a full-on threesome.
Yeah.
So if the fantasy involves, and I'm going to presume something here, and fair chance I'm going to be right, the fantasy involves another woman, correct?
How dare you?
just a little guess. So if that's the case, and we'll leave it in the realm of if that's the case, then maybe it's going to be, so let's do something that says, I'm going to watch you kiss another woman, and you're going to watch me kiss her.
Yes, Claire, let's do this.
And
you're going to die. So you kiss another woman, you'll be dead.
But then we're going to stop. And then we're going to say, okay, so how did that feel?
Yep.
I wouldn't ask him. He'd be dead.
Okay, so.
There'd be radio silence.
It really would have to be some kiss. I'm going to die for it.
We've got to take somebody who's
going to
channel.
Absolutely.
How do you feel?
But when you're doing that, you're saying, we're going to explore this, but we're going to explore it kind of really slowly, and that creates the safety. Hmm. So one of the things about exploring things like this is you need to create safety for your partner, which means there's a boundary that you discuss and you decide on, whatever that might be. You do not go beyond that. Full stop. You do not. It doesn't matter how amazing things are. It doesn't matter. You stop. Because you break that boundary once and you're done. You can never go back there. Because you've shattered the trust. That's it. So it doesn't matter. You stop.
Yeah.
And you talk. And that's all. So even if before the kiss you met whoever she might be.
Yeah.
Philippa, let's call her. I don't know where that happened. Let's call her Philippa. And you have a discussion with Philippa. That's all. Okay, how did that feel talking about this?
Mm.
Well, that was actually quite exciting. I don't know that I'm ready to go further yet. That was exciting. And it opens more conversation.
It feels like, you
feel like, we're having therapy. But what if your partner says no? What if the, you know, the wife, the husband, whatever says it's not happening? You know, that's the other thing.
Hmm. Listen, simple truth. There's not an easy answer for that. And there's not a 1, 2, 3 answer for that. Part of that becomes when I think we go into relationships and firstly, we don't know enough about ourselves, which makes that difficult.
Mm. Mm.
So I can't put that stuff on the table from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So I need to know about myself that I can, in the very beginning of a relationship, I can say to you, this is what's important to me.
Yeah.
And from the beginning, if you know that, you can say yes or no.
Yeah.
Or even a maybe, I'm willing to kind of explore that.
Well, people have those conversations anyway, don't they? Similar conversations. You know, if you desperately didn't want children,
yeah.
You would start a relationship with someone and say, listen, just before we get too serious, I need to let you know, I will never want children.
Yeah.
Can we get clear about that? So why can't we expand that discussion and discuss into about sex. Other things?
And it should be exactly the same thing. And that's the part that we talk about the least.
Mm. Mm.
So when it does come up, then there's this big shock, horror, surprise.
Mm.
Instead of saying, I need to put this on the table from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because if I do, we can go somewhere with that, or we can't. But after 5 years or 10 years of marriage, and we change, there's no question of that.
Mm.
And things come up in our lives that have not been there before, there's no question of that.
Yeah.
But then the bigger picture becomes, what is our relationship really about?
Mm.
And if it becomes a space for growth, for exploration, as well as just a space for a family, for companionship, for to be a team, to share work or whatever it might be, then if that's the space, then let's start putting elements of that there. And that's where you go step by step.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something here because it's a little bit of kind of an extreme of where we're going. But the simple truth is, if you cannot be fully yourself in your relationship, it is not the relationship for
agreed.
You.
Of course.
Because if you have to suppress yourself for the sake of peace, for the sake of somebody else, for the sake of a relationship, all it's going to do is either kill you from a spiritual and emotional point of view, or you will become angry, you will become frustrated, you will become resentful.
Yeah.
And you will destroy the relationship one way or another.
Yeah.
So we need to be aware of that. But that's taking it to like an end point almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also depends as well. Sorry, Claire, you were going to say something. But
no, I was just going to go back to threesomes and say like, but are they still considered taboo or, you know, a lot of people have done them, a lot of people are interested in them, all that kind of stuff. Is it still something that's very like, you know, like I was reading about cannibalism being a fetish as well, or that kind of stuff. You just, you know, it's not, it's more of an accepted fetish. So that's all I was going to say.
Cannibalism is more accepted than threesomes are more acceptable.
Threesomes are more acceptable. Cannibalism. I don't know, actually, because if you're talking to the right people, you know, maybe if you're talking to the right people, cannibalism is acceptable, you know?
Exactly.
I think
if you go to an Osho ashram, you will definitely have a different conversation or different communities. Can I just tell you from my experience, Clary, it's very important to say that if you live in a society with friends that are not familiar with emotional boundaries and the emotional infrastructure of what it is to have a third party in your relationship or even just a visitor in your relationship, there is a difficulty to grasp or percept with all parties in the equation, and you need to explore together. If you go to different festivals around France, around different communities in the world, they will know very well how to deal with the situation. So I think you're absolutely right to think and consider, wow, I'm not experienced, my husband's not experienced, you know, the lady we might one day find that we trust is not experienced. It's a real journey, and you know what, it's absolutely a place of vulnerability, and there needs to be a lot of trust.
There's an interesting thing in that, in how do you define that. And the first time I was on TV, it was a show about pornography. And it was supposed to be what was good, what was bad, and I was going to be the moderator. And it just kind of collapsed and changed. But the research I did along the way was looking for a definition of pornography. And the body that has kind of dealt with the most obscenity cases in the world was the United States Supreme Court.
Right.
Okay. And so I go and do some reading about that. And the interesting thing is that there is no one definition of what's considered pornographic or not. And what's considered obscene or not. And what they came up with was this phrase, prevailing community standards.
Okay.
Wow.
So the prevailing community standards, for example, in Danefern with regards to swinging are very different to the prevailing community standards in a suburb of Bloemfontein, which is not quite true because, to be blunt, there is a fucking lot of naughtiness happening in Bloemfontein.
I can believe that.
So the truth is that different groups of people will consider some things much more acceptable than others.
Right.
You know, if you're sitting in a group of people who are quite religious from any particular religion, and you talk about threesomes, it's definitely going to be shock horror.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting, you're talking in pretty much any kind of coffee shop in Sandton, for argument's sake, at least 30-40% of the people sitting at the table have engaged in a sexual experience with another partner.
The company you keep, really.
Yes.
In the end, yeah.
Yes. Stay in the gutter. It's like, those are the most interesting people.
Yeah. They're going to start going out to some different places.
You're just hanging out in the wrong places.
Around a lot of nuns.
Yeah, we're going to get you away from those people.
Monasteries.
But that does have impact on it. You know, because if you were in a circle with people who had experiences like this, and at some point somebody's going to share that with you, and it's going to plant a little seed that's going to say, I wonder.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
So a lot of that will have to do with the people that you hang out with. And once you get exposed to something, it's there. You know, there's this beautiful saying that comes up on sort of these spiritual channels every now and then. It said, a mind that has been, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, a mind that has been expanded beyond its original dimensions can never go back to what it was.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
You can't,
makes perfect
you
sense.
Can't unsee what you've seen.
That's
kind
it.
Of
Once you've had a thought, you've had an awareness, you've had a something, it's there. And you might try and suppress it, but the more you try and suppress it, especially if it's a part of you, you have to know it's coming back.
Yeah.
Suppress it. Push that down.
Push it down. But what you were saying earlier, Claire, about is, you know, when these fantasies get expressed and you say, what if it then doesn't happen? But I think in a lot of cases, fantasies, fetish ideas and thoughts are just that. Mm. And sometimes they go somewhere and other times they don't. But it's not like the conversation we said earlier, at the start of a relationship, I never want to have children. That's one thing. I would like a threesome.
Yeah.
I would like. You know, yeah. I think it's a different thing.
But we change because the reasons that we make certain decisions change.
Mm.
So you say, I never want to have children. That might come from having had a terrible childhood.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens at some point, something could happen inside of you that said, I could actually give a child a very different journey.
Like finding a loving partner, for instance. You know, if you've now found the person that you want to spend the rest of your life, maybe you do want to breed with them, you know, that kind of a
so
thing.
So we hope it would be a little bit more than just that. Okay, turkey baster, here we come.
Yeah.
But essentially, the reasons that we do things change as we change.
Mm.
So what you say never to, but if you're putting that on the table, you're being honest about who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that moment.
That's right.
Yeah.
And at some point in your life, that might be really important for you to express that.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then you make a choice, you make a decision on how important you are to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to anything else. Mm.
But can you imagine some of these women or men who feel like they will, you know, okay, we'll do your, you know, we'll live out the fantasy that you want or a fetish that you like and things like that, who then can't find a way back, who feel like they're going to, you know, to keep the partner happy, to constantly be pushed that little bit further, and then they get to a point where they're not comfortable anymore, but they can't say no. And, you know, but you did this already.
But then it's destructive. Then it's manipulative and it's not authentic.
But
because if I keep doing that to you,
yeah,
then it's not authentic.
Yeah. I just, you know, these women need to, I think you hear about it more often. I think people in relationships just need to be stronger as to who they are and where they are. And, you know, like you said, set boundaries as to this is as far as I'll go.
I've dealt this week in my office with people with enormous and deep relationship
pain. I thought you were going to say enormous something else. Wow. No, okay, pain.
No, this week has been relationship pain.
Okay.
It hasn't been enormous anything else. That's what it's been. And it's really, I mean, I've always thought a lot about relationships, but what it's brought to the fore for me more than anything else is that, and I don't have definite answers to any of this stuff yet, we have to learn to do relationships differently.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because the way that we do relationships, they're actually set up to fail.
Yeah.
And they're set up not to work.
Yeah.
Partly because we don't know who we are.
Yeah.
So we go into relationships not being clear on who we are.
Right.
We go into relationships not knowing what it is that we really want from a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than kind of what the media gives us, the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, two kids, white picket fence and a Jack Russell.
Yeah. Mm. Or what the friends have.
Yeah.
Or
and 3 weeks holiday in Cape Town or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it is that we do.
Right.
None of that is real about who we are.
Hmm.
And about what a relationship really is. That's the one level. Other level is, and it's a huge thing, is kids.
Right.
Because once we go down that road, the thought and the desire to keep that unit together is enormous and incredibly strong.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is this. We live in a world that is very scattered and separate. So, for example, I'm presuming most of your family are not in South Africa, Stuart.
No, they're not. They're not.
Okay, so.
I'm the only one.
Yeah, so. All of
I mean,
that,
I wasn't sent in exile. It's my choice.
We don't know that yet. You might have been banned. But think about the fact that in the past, we had communities that could look after kids, for example.
Yeah.
You know, you had an extended family.
Yeah.
I think about my family now. More of my family is overseas than is in South Africa.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I grew up in this really extended family with grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins. There was always somebody there to look after the kids.
Yeah.
That was it. We don't have that.
Mm.
So I think that we need to have kids later and we need to be very, very careful about, is that something that we really want to do?
Mm.
And I think a lot of women don't understand how much choice they have in that.
Mm.
Because there's such conditioning and such pressure still today regardless of the wonderful and amazing careers that women have and everything else, you're not complete until you're a mother.
Yeah.
Well, you're not complete until you've married. You're not complete. All these like milestones that you have to meet when actually you don't, you know.
You don't. Yeah.
You could get by perfectly fine on your own if you wanted to.
Yeah. So there's enormous social pressure, and especially in certain communities, to do that.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? You're not, you know, 30, you're not married, or 25, you're not married.
Yeah. And you end up giving an enormous amount of yourself away in that and not realizing the choice that you have to say, I'm not saying that I don't want to be a mother, but let's just stop a little. And before anybody kind of has a go at me about anything, I raised my daughter. I was a single parent from the time my daughter was 4.
Wow.
And the last time she saw her mother was when she was 6. She's 26 now.
Oh.
So in that time, she had like 3 contact with her mother, which had been via email, and that's it.
Wow.
So I know what it is to be a parent.
Yeah.
And I just simply think we need to understand we have more choice in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we need education for relationship,
which
means we need to learn how to communicate. And that is the biggest thing, because we don't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
We don't know how to be honest, and we are terrified of being judged, and we're terrified of being vulnerable.
Mm. Yeah.
And we have a big thing that says, if our relationship does not work, if we do not stay together, that's a failure.
Yeah.
And it could be the biggest fucking success.
Yeah.
To say, walk away.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I've been married before. Mm. I was divorced, and my biggest problem with getting divorced wasn't that the relationship was ending. It was that I was joining a club I didn't want to be a member of.
Yeah.
And I didn't want people to look at me with that. Oh, you're divorced, and that was the bigger problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's an amazing thing. A while ago, Gareth went to Silicon Valley with a whole lot of tech entrepreneurs from South Africa.
Mm.
And he came back and gave a really fantastic talk about what he'd experienced. And he said, from a business point of view, one of the ideas they have there is that if a business doesn't work, it's not necessarily a failure.
Mm. Mm.
And if somebody doesn't work 3-4 times, it doesn't mean that they are not going to make a success of it.
Yeah.
If they're learning and growing and expanding all the time.
Mm. Mm.
If you're doing the same thing again and again, then you're just stupid.
Yeah.
No question of that.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing idea that.
Mm.
And if we put it into the context of relationship, it says, if you get married when you are 24 years old, you are a child.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you have no idea about this stuff.
Yeah.
So 4 years later, you are a whole different person, which fair chance you're going to be.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you say, listen, I need something else.
Yeah.
And you've learned more. Mm. And your next experience is kind of a refinement on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But lots of stories about leaving people at the altar as well. A lot of people just go through with it because, oh, my family's here to watch and all that kind of, you know, there's all those, you know.
Yeah, that's the social pressure.
This is it, yeah. I can't disappoint everyone. Meanwhile, that's, you know, then you, years later, you're stuck with somebody you don't want to be with, you know.
And the really important thing is, don't look at it as failure.
Mm.
It's a learning.
Mm.
And if I grow from that, and if I learn more about me, I can create something that is going to be more fulfilling for both of us.
Yeah.
And if we start seeing that's often what the space of a relationship is, then we don't have to hold on to what we have done.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the biggest thing in our world, and from a point of view of spiritual growth, the idea of attachment to all of this and to what it means is an enormous thing.
Yeah.
And
Dante, which other, I couldn't hear what you said. What does it mean?
Spiritual growth. More. Yeah, from spiritual growth, holding on to the idea of the attachment of something. And the fact that just because it didn't work does not mean it's a failure. It just simply means, so that's the question. What does it mean if a relationship did not last? Doesn't mean.
But that imagine it was a going failure. Through life and being successful at everything that you do. Can you imagine the you know at 50 and you fuck up and that's you? That's you.
Yeah.
You know.
But define success.
Suicide. That kind of stuff. You know.
So define success.
Well, just everything. If you've been getting your 80% on your test, you've played. You've won. You know. You were the best tennis player at school. Then you had. You went into university and you came out cum laude. And then you da 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 da. So everything in life has just gone.
Okay. So you've spoken enough about yourself now in the last two sentences.
That definitely is. Not me. I'm one of those people that fails first and then does really well the next time.
So, but think about this and let's add something.
Mm.
So let's add to that.
There's never, I could talk about myself all the time.
Okay, we know that.
There's never enough.
Yeah, but you don't talk about the real interesting stuff. We want to hear the deep fantasies. Go.
Okay. So
let's add something to that. Let's add, in that definition of success, how much of yourself have you learned about? How much of your heart have you learned about? Mm. How much of your spirit have you learned about? How much compassion have you shared with other people? How much have you sat with somebody else while they cried their heart out about something? How much have you connected with different teachings in the world? How much of life have you really danced with? How much have you sung of life? How much of your story have you lived? How much of the depths of the darkness of your shadow have you gone into?
I want to know about the darkness. Tell me more questions. I want to know what they brought to the studio. What question, Jonty? We need to. It's an open mic. Give us questions.
So, the definition of.
I want to know today. Yeah.
The definition of success in that then becomes incredibly narrow. And I wrote something about this. It's an article that I'm putting out on Monday. And essentially, there's this beautiful saying that says if you go to, in a lot of societies, if you go to a shaman for healing, they don't ask about the symptoms of all sorts of things. They say, four questions. When did you stop dancing with life?
Yeah.
When did you stop singing? When did you stop being fascinated by your story? And when did you stop being okay to sit in the deep silence?
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's success, from my point of view. The rest of it, it's there, it comes and goes. You have more, you have less.
Mm.
You succeed at some stuff, some things will work, some things you'll fuck up.
Mm. Yeah.
That's all. And you're going to do that again and again and again
that's
and again.
That's life, isn't it?
That's right.
Experiences.
That's right.
And I think if you can, if you look at your life and say, I've been 100% successful at everything I've tried, then you haven't really tried
Never.
Anything.
Never. Because what does that mean?
You haven't put
mean?
Yourself out there, have you?
No.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Don't tell fish to try and climb on trees.
Yeah,
and that's one of those. Everybody has a uniqueness, and you need to find your own.
That's
Don't you have a suggestion?
Yeah.
What do you think about like hit the expert? You know, Claire. Well, both of you actually are going to hit you with questions, and you're going to hit them because you have 8 minutes to answer some like how to do's.
I've just remembered. I've got to go.
Look at the time.
Okay.
Ask us questions.
Now, hit the experts.
Go.
You mean I must ask them?
No, no. They must ask you everything they want to know for the show. What is this? What is that? What is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
Oh dear.
And you have to answer like.
Okay.
Shit down.
Okay. What does a foot fetish mean? Why would you have a foot fetish?
Because you enjoy feet and you get turned on by either looking at feet or touching feet or sucking feet or massaging feet or whatever. That's what it is, full stop.
Do they have to be clean?
Well, for some people they do and for others they do not. And for some people the more toe jam and shit, the better. And because that's what some people like. I mean, there's this huge thing on the internet. My daughter has this. Of pimple squeezing fetish.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I love
squeezing pimples.
She watches these videos and she says, do you want to watch? And
but it's not sexual. In my case, squeezing pimples is
but it's
sexual.
Not always about
it's just
directly sexual. It's pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's not
winning.
Sexual for me either.
It's winning.
Promise. I don't get off watching people pick their spots.
And like an what about like an HIV fetish and things like that? Where, you know, because it's obviously dangerous. Is that the...
Because sometimes that'll be the excitement. So, by the way, and I will announce this now, you've got to come back next week then because that's a really interesting question because Bruce and I are putting a show together on what is sexy about HIV.
Okay.
Because
that'd be interesting.
Thursday is World AIDS Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do an AIDS show, and we've always done it with this. And I'm not saying it's not important, not for a second. Let's just get that clear.
Mm. Yeah.
What are the education about it is, and we will talk about that.
Yeah.
But we found a different perspective. What's sexy about AIDS? Next Friday.
Wow.
Because there is still that reaction of, which I heard the other day. I said
but
something
for some
about.
Some people, the danger is the excitement.
Oh, okay.
The same thing, the danger of like sex in public.
Yeah.
It's the excitement. Yeah. Not so much.
Who wouldn't
about
like that, though?
Yeah. Some people. Okay, tomorrow you've had one question answered. There we go.
Claire, put your clothes back on.
Okay, so we can go into the parking lot after. No, we can go where we do the last nude show up on the roof and all the surrounding offices come.
Okay, that's fine with me.
No, I meant more like secretively, you know, when you sneak off and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's the exciting thing. Not
so you're at a party and you go into the bathroom of the house and.
Not like everybody look at me, I'm about to show you my lily white ass.
Well,
okay, and
we want to see it. Absolutely.
Well, the thing for me as well is that we were looking into this, the fetishes, obviously for the show and not for our own enjoyment.
Of course not.
What you can find, there's a fetish for anything you can think of.
Absolutely
everything. And my question for you, I suppose, is I was about to say weirdest, but what is the strangest, most unusual fetish you've heard of or that someone's presented you with?
Sure.
Nothing has anything ever shocked you as well? Is that
no, things have surprised me more than shocked me.
Yeah.
I think the extremity that some people will go to in terms of what I have seen over time, some of that was definitely shocking. There's no question.
Yeah.
There's some things that particularly like in the world of incredible extreme bondage play that have really been shocking, that's the limit that people would go to. But I will tell you that I am more shocked I've been reading some books about a detective in the Second World War, German detective, by a guy called Philip Kerr.
Yeah.
What has shocked me more is the absolute and incredible brutality that we as human beings are capable of.
Oh.
Yeah.
And just in terms of like reporting and talking about the enormity of numbers of deaths and torture that we as human beings are capable of. But at the same moment, the incredible love and giving and sharing that we are capable of. Because I've been in this extreme of stuff both week with this amazing experiences that I'm going through and learning from at the moment that I don't have words for in terms of what I'm seeing, in terms of my heart being open and what that means and stuff. Mm. And really, at the moment, there are no words. That'll kind of come. But looking at that spectrum, and they're all part of all of us.
Yeah.
Pick any one of us in any given situation, and we could be that person.
Social conditioning. Yeah. You were saying earlier, if you surround yourself with people of one ilk, then you're going to find other things very, very odd, very strange. But also, if you find yourself hanging around extreme people all the time, you're going to go further and further down that rabbit hole. Yeah.
And the important thing with that, the consciousness says no why.
Mm.
So in terms of fetishes, in terms of exploring, know where you're making the choices from. Are you making fear-based choices? Are you making judgment-based choices? Or are you making heart-based choices?
Right, yeah.
Heart-based choices say, how do we win in this? How do both of us expand, not contract?
Yeah.
And if you're doing that, then you're growing, you're expanding. Then what you're doing is success.
But then that would be quite difficult in today. Like, people today just do whatever they want.
Yeah, so pick.
So that's what I'm saying. I think it would be quite difficult for people to actually go back and look at where their fetishes come from and blah, blah. I just like it and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, but that's fine. Like it, but say, how do I explore it in a way that expands me, in a way that expands my relationship, not just because I like it?
That's
but if you're
the
going
odd
out
thing about,
sorry,
Claire. That's the odd thing about, you know, if you look at line about bringing up the subject of a threesome with your partner, which I did just to research
back
the
again.
Show. Then what you tend to find is how to manipulate your partner into giving you what you want, which isn't the question.
No, it's not conscious that.
Yeah.
It's not. And that's where you need to look at what kind of relationship do you want? Because ultimately, the consciousness will do that. So, guys, this has been really interesting. I think we'll definitely come. Stuart, you can come back.
Me?
Yeah.
I'll just drive him, shall I?
Yeah, that's fine.
Which is what happened today.
That's fine. I love you being here. It's really, really awesome. Felching.
Yes.
Felching is licking semen out of an orifice. So whether you do it with a straw or not is kind of irrelevant.
I hate to say that. I knew that. I don't know where. I don't know how I knew that.
If you could see her face.
I've got some explaining to do.
If you could see her face.
Silent.
Okay, so we can definitely presume from your face that that is not going to be on your list of fetishes or fantasies to explore.
You'll be glad to hear it's not one of mine either.
There we go. Guys, thank you. This has been really fantastic.
Thank you for having us.
It was really, really cool.
We should do this again because I think there's so much more to fetishes to talk. You know, I think explaining some of them would be fun.
And yeah, that's really one of the things that we want to do on the show.
Yeah,
so definitely
sorry.
Look at this again. So once again, water massage on Thursday, Bella Rouge Ladies Night, all about the G-Spot, which is lots and lots of fun, cool entertainment. It's a cool venue. Next week, what's sexy about AIDS? Tamar, I'm really looking forward to seeing you this week.
She's coming.
Yes, she's back in South Africa, but they're at the lodge at Zebra's Crossing for the weekend.
Okay.
So she is back.
Welcome
home.
I'm
really looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Zebra's Porn. I'm watching Zebra's Porn.
Zebra's Porn. Okay, that is where we are going to end on Zebra's Porn. I wish you all so much pleasure. CliffCentral.com.